we give you praise for the baptism we've enjoyed already this morning, seeing those committed to you and making it public. We just give you praise for that. And bless each one, not only today, but in their lives to come. Just make today be a special time for them. Help them to remember this. Help them to remember it when times are tough, when Satan feels like he's beating them down. Help them to remember you at this time, and help them to remember the commitment that they made to you, and that you ultimately made to them, Lord, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you praise for Joe, the contact that he had. He was able to get a ride from someone who was going to church, going past the church. Lord, you're amazing. We just give you praise for Joe and the contact. We give you praise for Joe and his willingness to speak the truth, speak the gospel to those he comes in contact with, Lord. And Joe just holds his hands up high this morning, giving you praise for that and that happening for him. We give you praise, Lord. Lord, we pray for Nadine's mother-in-law, Irene. She's in the hospital. Just pray, Lord, you continue to be with her. Pray that she would continue to get stronger and be able to come home soon. And we just lift her up to you, Lord. Lord, we give you praise that Frank is here with us this morning and able to worship with us. He has his arm in a sling. He's anticipating surgery tomorrow. We do pray, Lord, that that would go well and everything would be as expected. And we just give you praise as Frank offers up praise, knowing how the situation happened, the timing. He just saw your hand, even in the accident, Lord. And we give you praise for that, for revealing yourself to him. And may that continue to happen through his healing from the surgery for his arm, Lord. Lord, we give you praise for the Ukrainian family that is here this morning, for their travel, for the safety that you've given them, the aspects of their trip, the things that they look forward to, the things that are already happening, and they are here. Wasn't that long ago, Lord, we lifted them up in prayer and asking that you would show them what and when and how to do it. We do pray for their fourth one, Lord, that he would be able to come as well, that he would be welcome to America and be able to join his friends and family here. And we just look forward to getting to know them and that they worship with us in these days to come, Lord. Lord, we pray for the Fletcher family as they are anticipating a play, Acts City Rising. We just give you praise, Lord, for this Christian story being told to the public today, being told, revealing God and his greatness throughout this play. We just give you praise for that. However, there's challenges, Lord, and as we learn from here, from Pastor Terry teaching us about the powers and principalities, there's a struggle going on behind the scenes, if you will. There's a struggle going on with the equipment, with tech systems, with costumes, things that have never been an issue in the past, now are a challenge. We just pray, Lord, that you would meet those challenges, and as we learned this morning through Acts chapter 5, tribulation builds character, and character builds hope. And this morning, they have that hope in you, and knowing that this play can go on smooth, that the glory of God can prevail, and the story of the Acts of the city rising can be told. And we just give you praise for that in advance now, Lord, and be with them. Show them what they need to do and when they need to do it, and bless them and encourage them as they tell this story. Lord, we pray for Jack Martin. He has a feeding tube. He's struggling. He's not necessarily interested in going home, but he is going home with hospice. And we just pray that that service being provided him will be sufficient, and you would encourage him in a special way. We do know that it's his attitude that matters, and we just pray that you would intervene, that you would give him the encouragement that he needs, as well as encourage the family as they are trying to minister to him and meet his needs. Just be with the Martin family. Lord, we pray for Kara. It's been a couple weeks now. She's been struggling. She's had surgery here in Johnstown. She was in Pittsburgh. She was back home. She's back in Pittsburgh. Obviously, that tells a rather disturbing story, that she is still in pain. The doctors are still working with her, but we do pray that they would find the issue and treat her, and she would begin to heal soon. Just be with her, be with the family as they minister to her, and take care of wherever she is, whether it's in Pittsburgh or at home. We just pray, Lord, that they would be able to meet Kara's needs as well. Lord, pray for Sherry's friend Tammy. She had esophageal surgery. We just give you praise, Lord, for those kind of things being made available for the doctors, the surgeons, and their abilities. But we do know that you are the great physician. You are the great healer. And we just pray that everything that they've done, her body will respond to, and you will restore her and just be with her and encourage her in these days to come. And we just give you praise that we can come to you with anything at any time. As the ushers come forward, we just pray, Lord, you will receive these monies as a form of worship. Lord, this morning we realize we come to worship through song. We come to worship through hearing of the word. We come to worship through fellowship. And now these people want to give back unto you a portion of the many blessings you give them. And we just pray that you would receive them in a special way, Lord, and that you would continue to bless these people as they give unto you. And we just pray that these monies could be used not only here in Money's Corner, but around the world, reaching those for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who would ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Other name. Jesus, the only one who would ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is God beside you. Open up my eyes.
At this time, our children going to Children's Church, if they could meet at the side door. And it's great to have Terry leading us once again in God's most precious word.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Great to be here. Great to see you all here. Glad you're here. What a beautiful day. What a great day to be alive in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you're here, and God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. 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 We're going to talk today about baptism. Why? Because it's Baptism Sunday. I want to share what God's Word reveals about baptism and how important it is and how critical it is in God's eyes and what it means to the believer, what it means for us, what it stands for. But before we do that, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're grateful for the day. We're grateful for the beautiful sunshine. We're thankful for the spring weather and the new growth and the new life that it brings. It reminds us of the new life that is in us who follow Christ, who are in Christ, and that new life that is found and that new growth and that revival and that comes through the redemption. That as a seed is planted and it dies, it brings forth new life. And so, Father, we rejoice in that new life that is found in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is who we worship. That is why we worship. That is why we're here. And Father, bless this time as we look into your word to discover truths for life that bring us faith and encourage us in our most holy faith and bring us to the truth about grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Baptism, what it is, and first of all, what it is not. Baptism is not the means by which we get saved. You can be saved and not ever be baptized, and you're still saved. However, it is important that we participate in it. We were commanded to do it. Jesus commanded his disciples and us, he said, to make disciples and baptize them. And we baptize in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the Holy Spirit. That is why we immerse three times in Grace Brethren Doctrine, because that is, we believe, correct and biblical and scriptural, because we are baptizing in the Trinity. So that's what it's not, but it is a baptism is a number of things, and we're going to look at some of them today, and then we're going to take a peek into Jesus' baptism, because he is, after all, our model, who we follow. And his baptism is important for us to learn what it means for us. Because, number one, baptism is a showing. Baptism is a showing. It is what we just put on here with these three young people. They put on a public and visible display, a physical symbol of what has already happened spiritually. When they confessed and professed faith in Christ by speaking with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing on their heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, they were saved. And the Holy Spirit, we believe, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit enters a believer at that moment. This baptism that follows later is simply a public showing symbol to represent that transaction, that spiritual transaction by a public display. We use water to symbolize dying to Christ and being raised to new life in Christ. We die to sin, we are raised to new life in Christ. So by faith, we are saved, and the baptism is just that showing, that visible public symbol of that event. Next, it is a sign. Baptism is a sign. It is a showing. It is also a sign, a symbol, a representation that we died to sin. That's why we go down and back up. Died to sin through Adam, for the Bible tells us that in Adam all died, but in Christ all are made alive. So the baptism shows that we died to sin because of Adam's sin, and we are raised to life because of the life in Christ, the second Adam. We are raised to life in Christ, that new life. So baptism is a showing and a sign. It is also a surety. It is a surety. In other words, it is a representation of faith. The act itself does nothing to secure your salvation. It is simply saying, by faith, I'm going in this water, and by faith, I'm coming back out. It's not what we see. It is what we believe. Is what we believe in the resurrection and its power. As Paul said, that same resurrection power, that power that God exerted when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he said that same power lives in the believer. And so baptism is a surety of that faith in that resurrection power that is not of ourselves. It is nothing that we can do to secure this salvation. It is strictly by faith in the power of God himself, the resurrection and its power. It is also, baptism is a standing. It is a showing. It is a sign. It is a surety. Now it is a shows a standing. In other words, it shows the believer where you stand, and you've heard me say this many times, that we, the believers, we stand on grace ground. That is the ground on which we stand. When God told Moses, he said, take off your shoes, he said, because the place in which you are standing is holy ground. And so do we stand in that place. Holiness is found in grace. And I've said it before many times, and you can probably say it just as good as I can. Grace is found in holiness. You can no more encounter grace and not be holy any more than you can encounter that water and not be wet. And we got three people here that can testify. You were wet, right? You go into water, you're getting wet. You get into grace, you're holy. Holiness is found in God's grace. So that's standing. Baptism is representative of that's where we stand now. When you come out of that water, you are standing on grace ground, not Mount Sinai, where the law was given. That day, when the law was given, 3,000 people died from rebellion. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 people were saved by the Spirit of God. That's the ground on which we stand. That's standing. That's where we stand. It's not of ourselves. It's not what we have done, but what He has done for us. And next, baptism is a spiritual transaction. And I alluded to this earlier. It is a spiritual transaction. We use physical means to show spiritual truth. A spiritual transaction. And I spoke about this over Easter and on Communion Sunday last week about that spiritual transaction. God coming to us and Christ as the Son of Man going to God. The essence of communion. That we are with Him and He is with God. That is why Christ arose and that's why He ascended. It pleased the Father to raise Jesus from the dead. He ascended to be with God as our great high priest, the Son of Man, with God Himself. One of us, fully man, fully God. He is with Him as our representative. The Holy Spirit is now with all of us at the same time, all over the world. Communion, the essence of communion. That we are with Him and He is with us. The Son to the Father and the Spirit of God to us. In us and with us. That is how God can say, and you can believe and trust in all your heart, that He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My Spirit, He says, will be with you always. Jesus said, my peace, that shalom that comes through His Spirit, goes with you wherever you go. It is always with us. And also, and lastly, baptism. It is a showing, a sign, a surety, a standing, a spiritual transaction. And it is also a start. It represents a start. And these young people, some of you, most of you, I'm sure, were baptized. Some of you, even in this century. And some of you in the last century. So whenever you were baptized, whether it was today or 80 years ago, that baptism represents for you, for each one of us, a start. It is a start of ministry. That is what the essence of a disciple is. It is a student of spiritual discipline. And that begins, that symbol, that event signifies the beginning of your ministry here on earth. All the days of your life, however many they will be or may be, it represents that beginning, as Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of His earthly ministry. So now, because of salvation, we are justified, just as if I'd never sinned. We are sanctified, set apart, made holy by God, for God, for His purpose. And then lastly, glorification. So this journey that we all begin when we are saved, we are redeemed, justified, we are sanctified, made holy, and glorified, translated, transformed from glory to glory, as the scriptures reveal, into one degree of glory to another. And it's a journey. It is a journey, especially this glorification part, where we take on a little more of the reflection of the glory of God every day. And baptism is a start of that ministry. It's beginning to understand, it's to mark the beginning of understanding of what God's will is in your life. And maybe you don't know that yet. Maybe you don't know exactly what God's will is for your life. It's time to begin. You say, how do I know? Right here. You pick up this. It's the instruction manual. Say, I don't need instructions. Men don't read instruction manual. Yes, you better be reading the instruction manual. And if not, your wife should be reading it to you if you don't read the manual. Because isn't that what you're doing when you're assembling that thing from IKEA that has that 24 pages in seven languages, how to put that thing together? And she's reading you the instructions. And you're putting it together. So read the book. Know God's will. If you pray to receive the will of God, I promise you God's will be revealed to you. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Knowing and doing His will comes through knowing and obeying His word. And I can't say it any better than that. So, let's take just a moment here. We'll go to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at Jesus' baptism because there's important facts there that relate to us. Jesus is one of us, even though He was without sin. You say, well, baptism is for repentant or for redeemed sinners, and Jesus had no sin. Why was He baptized? Why was He baptized? Interesting question. Have you ever discovered or decided to know the answer to this question? Jesus being man, but yet without sin, why then was He baptized? Because, remember, He was baptized by who? John the Baptist, right? His cousin. Who was baptizing what? What was John's baptism? Repentance. Very good. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. In other words, repentance. And what's that mean? You've heard me say this. You know the answer to this question if you've been here any time at all in the last almost 2 years. What is repentance? Metanoia. Change your mind. It is agreeing with God in regards to sin. Turning from that path and agreeing to go His way. That is repentance. And John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. So then why was Jesus baptized? Why was He baptized? Let's look at the scriptures. Let's not make up any answers on our own. Let's find out what God's word says. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Jesus, it says, verse 13, Matthew 3, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, the river, to be baptized by John the Baptist, not the Apostle John the Baptist. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? So John clearly is trying to think, I can't baptize you. I should be in the water and you should be dunking me. Because John knows. What did he say just before that? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John knew he had sin. He was a student of the scriptures. He studied with the Essenes. Probably was an Essene himself. He was very, very astute with the scriptures. And he knew he had sin and needed to repent. So he desired Jesus to baptize him. Jesus says, verse 15, Jesus replied, let it be so now. He said, it is proper for us to do this, what? To fulfill all righteousness. There it is, the answer to the question. To fulfill all righteousness. Whose righteousness? Whose righteousness? John's? No. Jesus? No. The Father. the Father. To fulfill the righteousness of the Father. It is necessary. He says it is proper. Some script English translation says it is necessary to do this. The NIV says it is proper for us. So Jesus was not baptized for repentance in regard to sin because he had none. But here's why. Here's why, people. Here's the answer of all answers. He was baptized as your substitute. That's why. He was baptized as our substitute for all who would come later by faith to believe in his word. The word that became flesh. So that we could be filled. So he says, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, it's a symbol. His baptism is showing his consecration. Jesus' baptism is God showing the world that Jesus is consecrated, set apart. This is the Messiah. The Jews, whom John was and Jesus was, and they were in Israel, the land of the Jews, and the Jews were looking for the Messiah. The scriptures prophesied all through the law and the prophets and the writing, which encompasses the entire Old Testament, 39 books. It says the Messiah will come. And they knew it. And they were waiting for him. This moment was God's announcement to the world that this is the Messiah, the Anointed One. God's Anointed One, set apart for God to do God's will on the earth. That's why he became a man and ultimately to suffer for our sin. That our sin burden, your sin burden and mine were placed on him. He was shown to be approved by God and shown by God to be the Son of God, the promised Messiah. Second reason why Jesus had to be baptized, why he said it is proper for us, not only to fulfill all righteousness, but number two, to announce the beginning of his earthly ministry. Jesus was now 30 years old. 30 years old was the age, the required age, in order for a Jew to enter the priesthood, they must be 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old at the time this event occurred. He was entering his priesthood. He was declaring himself to be, God was declaring him to be a priest. Not just a prophet, now a priest. And ultimately, the king. No one could lay claim to all three. No one could claim to be prophet, priest, and king. Some tried one, some tried two. No one could claim three. It was blasphemy to consider yourself prophet, priest, and king. This moment was announcing Jesus to be just that, but specifically his priesthood. He was beginning his priesthood because he was at that age. To announce the beginning of his earthly ministry. He had been on the earth for 30 years, for three decades, doing things, making himself known, but yet not beginning the ministry that his father had laid out. Going about through Judea and Samaria, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. This is the beginning of it. At this moment, right after this moment, he is transported to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, to be tested by Satan, and then he begins his miracle-working ministry, showing himself to be the Son of God by the power of God. This moment was showing the beginning of that ministry. He was also, number three reason, why was he baptized? To identify with one of us, a man, a human, fully human, yet fully God. But he identified with us, doing that which was required of men. Repent and be baptized. Jesus needed no repentance, but yet he did the baptism because it was to show himself identified with us. yet without sin. And number four reason why he was baptized, to make it proper, as he said, or necessary, to show an example. His disciples were watching. Those that were beginning to follow him, those who were surrounding John. John's, at that time, John was the big dog in the hunt back then. He was the one the crowds were coming to hear. He was at the Jordan baptizing, and crowds of people were coming to him. He was preaching. He was baptizing. He was declaring God's kingdom. He said, prepare. The kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent. And there were many of those people who were considered themselves followers of John or listeners to John's message, which was in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He was much like the power, just much like the prophet Elijah. The very same spirit that was on Elijah, I believe, was in the Baptist. Much the same. They operated in that same spiritual authority. And Jesus was showing to all those as an example. He says, this is what you need to do. And then at the end of his ministry, before he ascended to heaven, he gave us the command. He said, go, make disciples, and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit. So he's showing us what we need to do, and so we carry that on to this day. This, not tradition, it is not a tradition, it is a commandment to be baptized. So now, because of that, we understand that all very well, and we've understood it for many years. The church has participated in baptism. Many churches baptize in many different ways, some forward, some backward, some once, some three times. They're all different. Some sprinkle, but it's really not scriptural. That word, baptize, it means immerse. Baptizo, that word, baptizo, strictly means immerse. That means you got to get in. You can't just drip. We immerse. So we do that. We practice that as an ordinance, as a sacrament, as a commandment to baptize and be baptized. We do that. Again, us, the church, here at Pike and all around the world, we do that as a sign of salvation. We baptize repentant believers as a sign of salvation. Deliverance out of sin. We are delivered out of the realm of sin and death and into new life in Christ. And into the righteousness that is found in God. Just like Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness. And that righteousness we still honor today. That righteousness that is found in Christ, not our own righteousness. It cannot save you. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ can save. So we do that as a sign. And we also do it to show ourselves, the church, the ecclesia, the called out, and the world, that we are set apart. Not as a means of pride or vanity, but to show consecration. Set apart by God. For the purpose of God. For service. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, he set out to fulfill the will of the Father. He said, I come not to give my own words. I come not to do my own will, but I come to do that which the Father has told me to do. And that is what we do. To show ourselves consecrated for service in the name. The name that is above every name. And to do his will. And again, we do that as these young folks did today, to be baptized, to announce the beginning of their earthly ministry. And I pray, my prayer for you three will be that God will reveal to you and to anyone else that is listening right now that has already been baptized but yet still struggles with knowing what God's will is for my life. What am I supposed to do, God? Maybe you're at a crossroads and you're not sure what you're supposed to do. as far as ministry is concerned? What am I difference am I making for the kingdom? See, we can do all kinds of things. We can set records. We can gain titles. We can earn wealth. We can do all those things. And guess what? They all burn up. It's called temporal things. Only those things that matter to Jesus Christ will live on in eternity. Only the things we do for the Lord Jesus will matter in eternity. So if you're asking yourself, what am I doing? Where am I going, Lord? What would you have me to do? My prayer for you is that the Lord will reveal it to you. He won't reveal your will to me. He will reveal it to you. He will. I promise you. If you get on your knees before Him and seek His face and ask Him to speak to your heart what He would have you to do, I guarantee you He will open a door, because He did it for me. I know He'll do it for you. He will reveal it, what He would have you to do. We also baptize and are baptized, again, to identify as one of His, that we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. Romans chapter 6. You say, is he ever going to get to that verse that's in the bulletin? Well, here we are. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Paul, Romans, one of the greatest epistles, one of the greatest Christian apologetic publication ever written, the book of Romans, is unbelievably deep in its theology. But Romans 6, verse 3, beginning at verse, well, let's begin at the beginning of 6:1. Paul says, and he's talking about in the end of chapter 5, he's talking about being dead. He says that death came through Adam and new life came through Jesus Christ, just as I've been saying. And then he, chapter 6, the chapters and verses weren't put in till much later. It's still the same thought. There just happens to be a chapter break. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? He's talking about the law and what the law did and the requirements of the law, and the law was necessary, but it was not able to save. The law simply brings man to the end of himself, to realize he needs a Savior. The law cannot save you. It cannot. It's perfect. It is perfect. The law is holy and good and perfect, but it cannot save. Why? Because we have this sin nature. We cannot fulfill it all. We cannot. And if we fall in any part of the law, we fall in all of it. So therefore, since we cannot fulfill the law, who can? Ha-ha. Now we know. Christ, our Lord, has fulfilled the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it, and fulfill it He did in every way, in every requirement. So, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? There was some that were saying, since we're under grace, sin has no consequence. Let's just do whatever we want, because we're under grace. Uh-uh. Wrong, wrong, and even more wrong. We don't do that. Grace is the power to not sin. Get that. If you don't think much about grace, at least learn this about God's grace. Grace is the power to quit sinning, to walk away from those things that you did in the old life before you came out of the water. Grace gives you the power over those things. He says, shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means, he says. No way. He said, we died to sin. So how can we live in it any longer? Let's not even dwell on it. Let's quit talking about it. Let's quit focusing on sin. We died to it. It's gone. Yes, we still have a sin nature, and it will be abolished when we are translated either out of the grave or at the rapture. When we are those who are alive and remain, he says, we will all be changed. But not until then. We still have this sin nature. But yet, we grapple with sin, but yet its dominion is no longer over you. Remember this, believer. Because of Christ's finished work, sin, the consequences of sin, have no dominion over you. Praise the Lord. So, We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? He said, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's what it means to go down and then back up. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. He says, verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism. It's a symbol that Christ was buried and he rose again. We go into water, dead to sin, alive in Christ. It's a symbol. He says, we're therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that life is not, he's not talking about eternal life. That word there for life is zoe in the Greek. Ionos zoe is eternal life. If it was eternal life, it would say ionos zoe. It does not. It says zoe in the Greek. That means life. That means now. That means here. Don't wait for heaven to start living. You are alive in Christ right now. Start living. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And away we go. So that's what we do. That's what we do. So we have the three R's of baptism. We have the repentance, that turning from sin, agreeing with God in regard to sin, that it is wrong, and we turn from it. And we agree to follow a new path, repentance. Number two of the three R's, release. Before you can receive, you got to let go what you're holding on to. We love to carry around that old stuff, that old sin nature. We just love to carry it around. We put it down every once in a while. Maybe on Sunday, you leave it out there in the coat room, and then you pick it up on your way out. Don't do that. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. To receive the gift of the inheritance of God, you've got to let go what's in your hands, and that means those things that have been you've been carrying around all your life, even after you've been saved. Don't carry them around anymore. Let it go. Let it go. And then, now that we let go, empty hands. Now you can receive. Now you can receive the inheritance that is found in Christ Jesus. I hope you've done that. I hope you've made that decision. If you've never made that decision, I hope you do that. Today's a great day. Today's a great day to do it. And you say, how do I do that? How do I get saved? How do I receive? Repent, release, receive. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You got to say it. You can think it all you want. If you didn't say it, it didn't happen. You got to say it. Just as God spoke and the world was created, words have power. You've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you've got to believe on your heart that God the Father has raised him from the dead. And now, as the Son of Man, he sits at the right hand of the Father, the position of strength, to intercede for you and for me as one of us, our great high priest. You've said it, you believe it, you have it. I hope you've done it today. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this great day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this great salvation that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we trust in that finished work that was poured out on the cross at Calvary, whereby all our sins, past, present, future, were placed on you. And the burden of sin and the punishment for sin and the penalty for sin was all placed on you, Lord Jesus. We put our faith and trust in that finished work, and that it so fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law that it pleased God to raise you from the dead, Lord. And we're thankful for that. We put our faith and trust in that. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand and sing with us as we sing, I Stand in Awe of You.
You are beautiful beyond description. Thank you.
Before we dismiss, I'd just like our baptismal candidates come forward, and on behalf of the elder board and the congregation here at Pike Grace Brethren Church, I wish to present to you these certificates certifying that you were baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Nathan... Please give these folks a little love, these three young people. This is the future of our church here, people. These are the future leaders of our church. Let's give them a round of applause. And I ask that you would pray for them, that God would reveal to them that which He has desired for them to do, that which He has already declared before the foundation of the world, that they, the works that they should walk in. And you are invited to join us immediately after the service next door for the fellowship meal. We're going to gather together, break bread. Remember, we add, it says, the believers broke bread and they added to their numbers daily. So today's the day we're going to do both. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thanks for the great day. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for giving us your Son. And Father, as we go forth, we ask that we would go out in protection and peace and power and provision. And ultimately, God, in the power of your Holy Spirit. And now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be all glory and honor and dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And all God's people declared, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.